we Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship. lcms.org/stewardship. Perhaps you see this from the perspective of the pew on Sunday morning. You can remember a time, or at least you think you can remember a time, when those pews on Sunday morning were considerably more full. It seemed more crowded than it is today. Or you're looking at the backs of the heads of the people in front of you, and you notice there's more bald heads when it comes to the men, and more gray heads, and fewer little heads. I happen to be member and a pastor of a congregation that in a lot of ways demographically bucks the trend of Sunday morning. We have a fairly even split. 25% of members are in each age category, all the way up to the octogenarians. And that's so very rare nowadays, it does make it unusual for a Sunday morning to see the little ones, the medium-sized ones, the young ones, and the old ones as well. Now, you might see it from the perspective of your entire denomination, noticing that it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Is anyone bucking that trend in American Christianity? We're going to begin a series on demographics in American Christianity. Pastor Heath Curtis joins us. He's a married father of seven children, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois, and coordinator for LCMS Stewardship. Heath, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Always good to be with you, Todd.
This is a kind of we're going to talk about the landscape. This is a general trend that we were looking at, but let's personalize it first. And that is, we're both members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. What does it look like for our denomination? Kind of sitting in the middle of America, kind of on the conservative side of American Lutheranism, an old denomination. What does it look like for us?
Sure. You know, we fall kind of in the middle of the pack. The Missouri Synod is exceedingly average when you start to on any number of levels, for income, for education, for congregational size. Now we have the things that are unique about us. We're an immigrant church body, when you map out, one of the very interesting things we got in our study was a map of where LCMS Lutherans live, and then you map that over where people self-identify as having German ancestry. That overlap is very strong for us, in the same way that other denominational groups in America are immigrant church bodies and coming from specific ethnic groups. We're focused in the a lot of our membership is in the Plain States and the Rust Belt. So there are interesting, you know, unique things about our denomination, but also in many ways very average. And so we're falling right in the middle of huge trends. And before we end today, because when I go out around our denomination and talk about these facts, I always start off my talk by saying, now, for about an hour, it's not going to sound like it, but my purpose here today is to encourage you. So before we end today, I need to talk specifically about what I mean by that, because there is a lot of encouragement here for pastors and congregations on the ground to look into the future that the Lord is going to lay out for us. As James says, whenever we make plans for the future, we say, if the Lord wills. But there's encouragement in all this data to look at what's happening in America and to chart a course with faith in the Lord into the future where the Lord has planted us.
What is the single, in our case, and I think it may prove to be in the case of American Christianity, although we're just going to look at the landscape today, just front load it a little bit. What's the single biggest factor in the decline demographically of American Christianity?
Right. You know, different people like to, I like talking about the one big term. If you're going to put one big term that connects all the pieces, and big terms like that, of course, are going to paint with a broad brush. It's not going to be something that's new to your listeners that you've brought in authors to talk about this for many years. We could just call it secularization. We can just call it that. You know, this huge cultural shift in America from a Christian nation, from self-identified Christian nation to today. You know, what are we religiously? In America, so again, with the broadest brush to paint today, over the course of the Obama administration, America went from being 78% Christian to 71% Christian. So we can use some round numbers and say America's losing 1 percentage point of Christianity a year, you know, give or take. I mean, wow, that's, boy, if that keeps going on.
There are only so many percentage points.
There are only so many percentage points, correct. So that's huge. Now, when we begin to now pull, okay, so what fits under this huge umbrella of cultural secularization, we can simply ask, well, how do denominations grow or shrink? Every denomination, every Christian denomination is vastly made up of the children of yesterday's members. So, for example, in the wider Lutheran family, 65% of our membership today was Lutheran when they were 16. So that gives you just kind of a rough idea. And so people who leave the faith, so, you know, what happened to those who have left the faith? The Lutheran retention rate, you know, is somewhere between that 55 and 60%. What happens to them? Where do they go? Why are they leaving? Likewise, when you look at, say, American evangelicalism, you know, a non-denominational American evangelicalism has a very poor retention rate. Roman Catholics have a pretty decent retention rate, but still it's huge since they're such a large denomination. 1 in 10 Americans is a former Roman Catholic. That's a shocking statistic. So denominations grow or shrink either, you know, your membership is a large proportion of everybody's membership is the children of yesterday's members. So obviously the health of the family, the size of the family, the strength of the family, the divorce rate, all those things play into, that's a huge portion of it. Another is retention. Do you retain the members that do come to you how many do you keep womb to the tomb? How many do you keep from the baptismal font until you put them in a casket and put them in the ground? So that retention rate, and why are you losing some? That's called the apostasy rate. That's that's what the sociologists like to call it. How many people are falling away? And then on the other side of that, of course, is how many people are coming in through evangelism, through marrying in. So again, let's take a look at Lutheranism. So 65% of our membership today were Lutheran when they were 16, but that means 35% have come into Lutheranism as adults. And that's surprising to some people. You know, we kind of have this self-deprecating view of ourselves as not being very good at evangelism, but actually more than a third of our denomination has entered our faith as adults. And so these are all the things that are in the mix. Evangelism, outreach, retention, birth rate, health of the family, all those things are the mix that every denomination in America relies on to gain its membership. Now, that's a no-brainer. But today I thought it was very important to lay out the no-brainer stuff, because in this situation where denominations are, and so let's, you know, take for example, we have areas of the country in our church body that have lost 25% of their membership in less than a decade. We have denominations in America, the Methodists, the Episcopalians, that are a shadow of their former selves. It's very easy to just look, and again, that huge stat of America losing somewhere in the neighborhood of a percentage point of its Christianness every year, it's easy to get excited, to get worried, to start pointing fingers, to throw your hands up, set your hair on fire, run around the room screaming. So today it's good to just say, well, these are the facts. This is how denominations grow and shrink. And these are the facts on the ground that we have to understand before we can look at how's the church going to respond in faithfulness.
Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest. We're talking about demographics of the decline of Christianity in America at the beginning of a series with him. When we come back, we'll deal with the size of the family and then what some have called a geographical mismatch. And we'll talk about the landscape of American Christianity. The decline is general. What does it look like in its details? Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. Issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler, or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest, beginning a series on the demographics of Christianity in America. You mentioned before the break the size of the family. I want to give you a chance to dispel something right away, or at least respond to something right away. And that is, it has been, I think you have been kind of talking about the numbers in terms of the fertility rate of Americans in general, but our denomination, Lutherans in particular. And we totally reflect the society below replacement. We are just as average as we could possibly be in that respect. Often when you talk about this, some Lutheran pastors, some Lutheran lay people will simply scoff at that idea that it has anything to do with the size of their congregation or of our denomination.
Well, you know, a few things there. You know, one, as I mentioned in the first segment, we're just dealing with the first article gift of math. You know, we're dealing with, in this first discussion of the demographic trends of American Christianity in general, this is not theology so far. This is sociology. This is just where every religious group gets today's members is the children of yesterday's members. So it's a no-brainer. It's a first article gift. It's just math that if your society has a birth rate that declines sharply and suddenly, as the white Protestant birth rate in America did in the 60s, 70s, and then again in the 90s, well, that's going to have consequences down the road. And that's not, there's just no controversy about that statement amongst sociologists. There shouldn't be any controversy about that statement amongst theologians. So that's just math. Can't beat math. I fought the law and the law won. Math is even worse. Absolutely perfect record. Can't do anything against it. Now, when we enter now a theological discussion of this, yeah, everybody's got ideas. Everybody's got irons in that fire, and they want to argue about it. But the first thing I want people to know is take a deep breath and just realize that, you know, decisions that were made decades ago, those are going to have entailments down through to today. Now, on our denomination, it's interesting. We got a second raft of data from one of our demographers, and he pointed out that when you dig down into the data more deeply, so here's the thing. In our denomination, when you look at it as the whole denomination, we look kind of average as far as the number of children we're bringing to the font. However, sadly, we only have half the young people as America as a whole. So it's hard to do math on the radio, but
proportionally speaking,
we're an old denomination. So roughly 20% of America is in their mom and dad years. Well, in our denomination, we have roughly only 11% of our people in their mom and dad years. And yet, we're bringing... So, in other words, when you just look at our moms and dads, we have a much higher percentage of large families than the culture as a whole. And this is one of everything in this discussion is dark cloud, silver lining, dark cloud. Can our denomination, or can the Methodists, or the Episcopalians, or the Presbyterians, could they tomorrow become growing denominations by adopting the Roman Catholic view of family planning? Well, the answer is no. The Roman Catholics can't do that. You know, I mean, so, but also it's simply a measure of the fact that religious people are already more open to life than society at large. And in our own denomination, we've already got a very high percentage of folks with larger families. So one thing that's been very frustrating for me as people have begun to dig into some of this data is they kind of scoff and say, you know, they hear everybody does this. I do this. You do this. Although you're paid professional listener, so you're probably better than most people, Todd. But everybody, when they hear something, they jump to conclusions and they want to start arguing. And so if some folks have heard sociologists say, well, your denomination is shrinking. And one big reason it's shrinking is... a lower birth rate than you had in the 50s and 60s. And they want to say, aha, you are telling us that the only way that we can become a growing denomination is to have more babies, and you want to chain women to the stove and et cetera, et cetera. And I just want to pull out my hair because I'm like, no, you're not listening. Our sociologists are simply pointing out a fact. And one, they're pointing out a fact of where the majority of everybody's believers comes from, every denomination. Second, you need to take a deep breath and listen to the next thing out of their mouth, which is that there is no short or medium term, quote unquote, solution to the shrinking of American Christianity that's going to come from a higher birth rate.
That's a long, long term.
Yeah, maybe. A guy, I can't believe you still haven't had Mark Stein on your show. You got to call New Hampshire and get him in. You know, he wrote a book called America Alone, and he looks at demography again from a political commentator's perspective of all of Europe, all of America, Canada, the Western world. And his point is there are whole countries that are to a demographic point where they cannot turn around their population decline via natural growth. Italy, you know, France is getting close. So this shouldn't be surprising to us. And the American church is much better off. I said by the end of today, we're going to get to some encouragement. The American church, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is much better off than these places. But people do need to understand that this data is not a call to arms on any specific lever that you can push. There's no quick solution. There's no magic thing that's going to now, in the Trump years, we're not going to go from 71% Christian to 72 to 73. It's not going to reverse for anybody, not Lutherans, not Presbyterians, and not any way. And that is a tough pill to swallow, but it is what the sociologists tell us is just going to happen.
We'll take another break. When we come back, we'll continue our first of a series on the demographics of Christianity in America. Pastor Heath Curtis is our guest, married father of seven children, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois, coordinator for LCMS stewardship. When we come back, we're going to talk about that general landscape, what we see out there, how bad is it in the worst case, and who's doing, well, relatively well when it comes to the decline of Christianity in America.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about demographics of Christianity in America at the beginning of a series with Pastor Heath Curtis. A little bit later, we're going to spend some time with Bill McKeever of Mormonism Research Ministry. We'll talk about the excommunication of a high-ranking Mormon official. We don't know a lot of details, but we do know this does not happen very often, if ever. And then we will discuss our recent trip to Wittenberg, Germany, a little travel log in the last half hour of Issues, Etc. I did want to ask you something before we kind of look at the good, the bad, and the ugly here. These numbers have been floating around in our circles for some time, and it was recently posited that there's a quote-unquote geographical mismatch between Lutherans in America and the population of America, namely that we're in the Midwest and most people live on the coast, on or near the coast. What do you make of that particular read on the numbers?
Sure. So the Missouri Synod has built an amazing amount of mission infrastructure. Our infrastructure to bring the gospel to the world is amazing. And we have the largest number of K-8 schools of any Protestant group in America, second only to the Roman Catholics, and educational infrastructure. 9 colleges, 2 seminaries, all these institutions, and now a bank and 2 auxiliaries. And we have all this huge, wonderful infrastructure for ministry. And this was built, this in today's dollars would be probably close to a $1 trillion investment over the course of the decades to build this, was at a time when the Plain States and the Midwest and Upper Midwest, where the Missouri Synod has a large proportion of its membership, that's where a lot of that was built. So sure, point well taken. Absolutely. We've clearly have a larger footprint in Illinois than we have in Nevada or Colorado, or New Mexico, which are going great guns and a new economy and so forth. So that's true again, and that's true for every denomination. The Southern Baptist Convention is called Southern for a reason. And in recent decades, that's been great for them, because people have been moving into the Sun Belt. At a previous time in American history, it was very difficult for the Southern Baptists when people were moving out of the South and so forth. So our denomination, every denomination, certainly has that. And so if we can turn the corner here to talk about my encouraging news and how I want people to begin to filter this news into your brain, we're not saying the sky is falling. We're not saying that the future is dark and bleak and oh no. No, not at all. We're saying that we're going through a specific time in church history. And as we have people, scholars who can look at what's happening in our society, what's happening in our culture, they can help us begin to prepare for this and begin to plan for it. And so the first piece of encouragement is kind of in your introduction is to let people know, you're not crazy and you're not a bad congregation and you're not a bad pastor necessarily if your denomination, if your church, if your district is shrinking. You're caught up in something that is way bigger than your ministry, way bigger than your little congregation, way bigger than the people in your pews. You are in the midst of demographic cultural trends that are affecting everybody, every denomination, every state in the union, every city, every locality. So that's the first bit of encouragement is, if you have felt beaten up by this, or if you were expected to fix it wherever you serve and it didn't get fixed and now you feel like a failure, you might be a failure, I don't know, but probably not for that reason. You know, again, you're caught up in the midst of this. That's the first piece of encouragement. The second one is that, yeah, all politics are local, all demographics are local. And so one of the big encouragements I travel around our denomination trying to get pastors and congregations to do is to understand where you're located. So you talked about your congregation. Sounds like they're in an area where they have a nice base of young families. That's one kind of situation.
Surrounded by good schools.
Yeah. Nice tax base, et cetera. Serving in inner city Detroit, very different. Serving where I'm from, out in southwest Nebraska, northwest Kansas, I'm from a town of 8,000 people, which is the largest town for 75 miles in any direction. Boy, that's a different kind of demographic base. So understand, and don't, so in other words, don't start judging the health of your congregation, the health of your ministry, the quote-unquote success of your ministry, based on these huge trends for all of America. One very interesting fact that we got, for example, in our denomination from this data that we received, one is, you know, this is not surprising, where geographical area as a whole is declining, our congregations are declining. Well, duh. If you're in a county that's lost 10% of its membership, you're probably going to think you're going to lose some of your membership. But where the Missouri Synod is in areas of the country that are growing, we have growing churches, but they're growing, those growing churches are growing more slowly than the whole county around them. So that's interesting. So, and that goes with the big national trend that we see of America becoming less Christian as a percentage base. But at any rate, you know, getting a little off the rails there. What I want to emphasize is know where you're from and start to set realistic goals. And in a future episode of this little series, I'll talk about very specifically, how can you find out what's happening in, you know, I live in Madison County, Illinois. How do I find out what's happening in Madison County? How do I plan for my congregation's school? Or I've got a friend who works out in our denomination in the Kansas district. Again, you know, area country where I'm from, it's going to be very difficult to serve a bunch of these far-flung parishes and areas of the country that used to be really strong farming communities. Now people have moved away. Well, you need to judge the health of your ministry based on where you're actually serving, because success and growth and all these things are going to mean different things where you're from. So I want people to be encouraged in the midst of these big trends, and I want them to have faith in the Lord, and I want them to respond to these trends with faithfulness, and I want them to do all of that with a realistic picture of where they are.
What's the worst in American Christianity in terms of the decline, and what is, relatively speaking, sure, the best, and why?
Sure. You know, I think it's easier to pick out those denominations that are really, really suffering. The Episcopal Church, the UCC, you know, there's this big mainline group that all have intercommunion with each other.
Seven Sisters.
There you go.
Yeah.
Amongst, they're all doing poorly. The Episcopalians are above everybody else. And in all those ways, we talked about how denominations grow and shrink. It's because they're bottoming out in all of those. Episcopalians have very small families. In fact, this George Holley, we both got a copy of George Holley's book. I put that on the website. He mentions that, you know, as he studied all these denominations, looking at the decline of the denominations in America, he said, basically, every denomination is basically pro-family. Except the Episcopalians, he said, you know, their Bishop Sciori, you know, famously said that, you know, since Episcopalians are more educated than other people, we tend to be very environmentally conscious and don't want to have many children. Well, okay, that's your thesis. And then also they have a terrible apostasy rate, and of course they've had a lot of conflict in their denomination as they've kind of gone off the rails theologically. So that's an easy one to pick out. I think every other major denominational family has, like I said, dark clouds and silver linings kind of throughout. We were talking during the break that some of those are very surprising, and maybe in future episodes we'll look at, what's our conception, and maybe it's just because we're Lutheran, our conception of what Baptists are like is a little bit belied by the numbers. Our conception of, what are the strengths of Roman Catholicism? Well, maybe not.
The numbers tell a different story.
Yeah. I was surprised, at least as I moved through a lot of this data.
One of the things, finally here, that I find interesting, it was years ago I interviewed a guy named William Chadwick, who had written a book about transfer growth in American evangelicalism,
right.
A book called Stealing Sheep. It's a fantastic book. A little outdated now, because he was writing at a time when the population of Christians in America was not declining. And he simply said, we're just moving deck chairs around on the deck. We're transferring people, and we're calling it growth, and it isn't growth.
Right.
We're transferring people. He said in the average megachurch, 75% of the growth is accounted for by transferring from one Christian congregation to that one. But with the decline of the number of Christians as a percentage of the population,
sure.
We're not just moving the deck chairs around anymore, are we? This is real decline, isn't it?
Yes. Now America is still, the math is a little complicated. America is still growing, so 71% of a bigger pie, but no, it's not the same as 78% of a slightly smaller pie. So yeah, the raw number, so both the percentage of Americans who are Christians, that's declining. And recently, the raw number of Christians has declined from a relatively recent peak. So that's going to bode. It'll be very interesting, won't it? The famous curse, may you live in interesting times. But again, as there are dark clouds, there are silver linings. The church, here's a great question. When in church history was the church the healthiest? Oh boy, what do you mean by healthy? Right? Was the church of the apostolic age the healthiest? Well, maybe. What about the age of St. Chrysostom? And again, you can look at the Reformation period, the medieval times. When was Christianity the strongest? Well, what do you mean? As evinced by the power of a growing, expanding Europe? Or the health, the doctrinal health of the church, or its fervor for faith and evangelism? What do you mean? So I can pick any time in church history and find strengths and weaknesses. Ours is going to be the same. So we should not be discouraged by these numbers that are, almost every chart that we look at for whichever group you're looking at, it's high on the left and low on the right. But that should not get us down. That should focus us to talk about the health of our ministries at the local level, at the national level, and at points in between, and how can we make effective, faithful plans under the Lord's care and guidance, always saying, if the Lord wills, how do we make those faithful plans for the future so that we can enter that future with confidence, with faith in the Lord? And again, to bring it back to our denomination, we've built this amazing infrastructure for ministry, and we're not going to decline forever. So a big mega question for us and for other denominations and for individual congregations and institutions is, how do I weather what looks to be a difficult time in American church history? How do I weather that so that when things inevitably turn around, we're going to have the infrastructure for ministry we're going to need to do that outreach, to build that new look of the church, to build that new future for American Christianity? We need to take a long view, and we need to take that long view with confidence in the Lord, with faithfulness, with hard work, and there, be encouraged.
Pastor Heath Curtis is a married father of 7 children, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Warden, Illinois, and Zion Lutheran Church in Carpenter, Illinois, coordinator for LCMS Stewardship. Heath, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ted.
On a related note, Dr. Scott Murray is going to be making the case for Christian marriage, and Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morris is going to be making the case against the sexual revolution, 2 factors in this decline, at the 2017 Fall Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference in Houston, Texas. It is the premier conference for Christian laity. Registration is $120, includes 3 meals, 1 on Friday night and 2 on Saturday afternoon and evening. Child care is free thanks to the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education. You can learn more and you can register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223. 8385. The Fall Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Bill McKeever. Well, getting what we do know about the case of excommunication of a high-ranking Mormon official. Stay tuned.
People are talking about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families, and entities, and proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU offers deposit accounts and loans and has service access at thousands of branches and ATMs nationwide. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at LutheranFCU.org.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at PerformanceFitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. PerformanceFitness618.com.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
I've got some friends down in Houston.
Join Mark and Molly Hemingway, Brian Wolfmiller, Rod Dreher, Jennifer Roback Morse, Scott Murray, and me for the 2017 Fall Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
And they won't ask me questions.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.